Welcome to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis, and I'm joined by Pastor Margaret Michael, our Pastor of Presence Evangelism here at Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene. Pastor Margaret, how are you doing today?
I am doing well. I'm grateful to be here.
Well, Pastor Margaret, just start off by telling us what we'll be talking about today.
Okay. Well, as I was praying about what to share today, I was reminded of a very familiar scripture that we find, Psalm 23. And as I was thinking about Psalm 23 and its meaning, you know, there are certain scriptures when they come to mind, sometimes they come with a story. And there's a story that is very near and dear to my heart, something that I experienced a few years ago, and I really sensed deeply that I was supposed to share this story with you today. And so I'm going to go back a couple years, but we're going to start out. The scripture that we're going to look at today is short. It's from Psalm 23:1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need." So that's where we're going to start today.
That's great, Pastor Margaret. And when you mentioned to me that you were going to share from Psalm 23, verse 1, I thought it was neat because you didn't know that me and Dad have been kind of praying through the Psalms, is what Dad's been calling it, just week by week, just taking different readings in the Psalms. So that goes right along with where we're at.
That's really great because I had no idea that you all were doing that. And, you know, the Psalms are so full and so rich, and we can learn so much from them. And sometimes scripture, especially like Psalm 23, that is so familiar to so many people, it has such deep meaning, and sometimes I think we miss that meaning just because we tend to read it all through at one time and to take it Psalm 23 and kind of dissect it verse at a time, I think, is really a powerful exercise. So I'm excited today. And I think to add to that, there are things that happen in our life. There are stories, things that we've experienced. We've watched God work. And when we can take a scripture like this and have a tangible story to help really dig into the depth of what "the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need" really means to us, I think that's powerful. And I think when we have those stories, we need to share them because it's about who God is. It's about giving Him glory for what He does and not keeping those things to ourselves. So today is a tender story. It is a story that goes deep. There's sadness in it. But in the midst of that sadness, I was able to see God work in tremendous ways. And so it's one that cannot be kept just to myself, but I want to share it. And hopefully, as we all go through trials and we all go through hard times, we can understand this a little bit different and have a scripture that we can cling to when we seem to have maybe even lost everything. And so that's where we'll be going today.
And as you were talking about that, Pastor Margaret, about how it says, "He is our shepherd, we have all that we need," it doesn't mean like possession-wise.
Right.
It's talking about spiritually, and that we have Him, and that He is all. The Father God and Jesus are all that we need, and the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. And we'll get there, because that's exactly where we're going today. But in our humanness, sometimes we find ourselves in a tough place, and it's in those places that the enemy comes and brings doubt that really, do we have all that we need? And so I'll just begin to share a little bit. You can jump in at any point and ask questions or give remarks, but back a few years ago, we had at an Easter service, there was a family that came here, and they had driven for probably an hour and 15 minutes to get here for church service. It was a husband and a wife and their young son. the wife had a turban on her head, and so from my background of working at RMH and working in the cancer center, I figured that she probably had cancer. And as I got to know them a little better, I found that she did indeed have cancer. She had been diagnosed in January. And so as this family began to come after that Easter service, they began to come on a regular basis, driving that distance. And the husband and the son were baptized, and that was a big day for them and for us. And so I began to walk a little closer with them, and it was now probably mid-July, and I just sensed in my heart that I was supposed to drive to their house, which was over an hour away. And I really, like, this is a little crazy not to call, just to drive there, but I just felt in my heart I was supposed to. So I made the drive. I pulled up to the house, and by this time, they were not attending church as regular because the wife's cancer had progressed. And as I got to the house, I knocked on the door, and the young son came to the door, and he said, Mom's asleep right now. Dad's at the doctor. And if Mom wakes up and sees you, she's pretty confused today, so that might be hard. So he asked that I not come in and that I leave. And I stood there kind of stunned, really, for a moment. And then, okay, you know, that's fine. And I walked away going, why did I drive all this way? And now I can't even visit. You know, he's not here. She's not at a place where she can have a conversation. So I got in the car, and I was driving out of the subdivision, and I got to the main road, and I saw a car coming, and I thought, well, I better wait before I turn left. I'll just wait for the car to go past. And as I sat there, the car turned into the subdivision. As it pulled up beside me, it was the husband. And he just looked so shocked, and he said, what are you doing over here? And I said, I come to see you. And he said, follow me back to the house. So I turned around, went back to the house, and he got out of the car. And he said, I just was at the hospital today, and I've been diagnosed with terminal melanoma cancer. And he said, I didn't know what to do because I knew I was coming home, and I can't tell my wife because she wouldn't understand right now. And I couldn't tell my son. I can't give him this news yet. And he said that you would be here today for me to share this with was just almost unfathomable to him. And I prayed with him in that moment, and he came to realize that in that moment, God knew where he was. He cared so much that he had me drive an hour and 15 minutes for the timing to be perfect. 30 seconds earlier, 30 seconds later, we would have never seen one another. And so I started walking closer with them, and especially him at that point, because I realized that he really didn't have a lot of support at home. And so as it progressed with his wife, she soon ended up in a home because she wasn't able to even be in the home anymore. And his cancer progressed pretty rapidly too. And by September, they had moved out of their home and were both in a hospice house, two doors down from one another. And so I would go see her, and then I would go see him. And about a month after she was there, I'm thinking about a month, I can't remember exactly, but she wasn't there real long. She came to the end of her life, and we had the funeral, and it was a pretty painful day. As you watch a father and a son, and the father knows that his days are numbered too. And the son, I had some interaction with him, but he, you know, he's a young teen, and he's trying to work through it. And so within 2 months, I am at the hospice house again, and I'm praying for this husband, this young boy's father. They have sold their house. They have gotten rid of all of their belongings. Their son has been taken in by another family. And here lays this man who had been a provider, who had, you know, lived this life with his family, and he is now in this hospice house with everything that he owned. And as I went to pray for him that day, I went to pray the 23rd Psalm, and I said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need." And when I said that, I just could not even fathom this really being true. Because in this moment, he had lost everything, as you had said earlier. That was material. That was family. They were all gone, and he is just there, waiting to pass from this life into the next. And I prayed with him. I tried not to let him see my questioning, what I had just quoted to him. I know it's true. I know the scripture is true. I know it's truth. But I was just grappling with how this must sound to his ears. And so I went home with that. The next day, I went in to work, and Pastor Camelot was still here at that time on staff, and she gave me a gift. It was a devotional, and I opened it up to that day. I looked at the scripture that was the devotional scripture for the day, and I read these words: "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need." And I just could not even believe my eyes that I'm reading this scripture. And so this became a very special devotional to me. It helped me to work through, and I think it will help us all to really understand how much God is our good shepherd, and that he does have everything that we need for life and for godliness. And he was everything to this man. I probably struggled with that scripture more than he did, because he was trusting God, because that's all he had in that moment. And I see that on the other side now. So the day of his funeral, I shared this devotional, and I want to share it with you now. Yes, this is the devotional that I read that day, the day after I struggled with the scripture. God placed this right in my hands. He is that good. When we come to him and we ask him the questions, and when we struggle with things, he comes and gives us answers. Maybe not in our timing, but he does give them to us. So here's the devotional. Starting with, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need." Psalm 23:1. "Yes, I am your shepherd, your good shepherd. But don't assume you will never feel need in this world. You've seen many who love me and submit to my shepherding go through seasons of lack. That isn't a contradiction to my promise. I allow you to have needs and expect them to drive you to me as your provider. Understand that there's a difference between having provision and knowing a provider. You've heard the saying that it's good to give someone a fish, but better to teach him how to fish. It's good when I give you something you need, but it's better when I teach you to walk with me. My material gifts are used and then gone, but my heart as your provider never fades. When the provider is your constant companion, you never worry about whether you will have what you need." That's what David meant when he said he would not want for anything. Not that he would never experience lack, but that he would never experience lack without confidence that I would be available to him. You can have that same confidence. Yes, You will have needs, but you will never be in a place of unaddressed need, wondering if I am going to come through for you. My presence with you means that you can be at peace about your future. I see all the days in front of you, and you won't be forsaken in any of them. Your worst case scenarios aren't in my plans. I take care of my sheep, and you are one of them. And then this is the prayer at the end of the devotional. Lord, although I do have everything I need to survive right now, I don't have everything I need to thrive or to fulfill your calling. But I know all of those things are in you, and I have you. Please show me how to discover and experience your provision at each step in the journey. And just to give reference, this devotional is by Chris Tigreen, and it's called Experiencing God's Presence. And this devotional was written on December the 10th.
Well, Pastor Margaret, I don't think it was a coincidence that you shared that scripture verse, Psalm 23, verse 1, with the gentleman that day.
Right.
And then also the next day that Pastor Camelot, who was still here at the church at the time, gave you the devotional that very next day, and that you opened it up on that day to that scripture verse that you had just shared the day before.
Yeah, that was such a... the journey that I walked with this family. You know, I've walked with a lot of families through grief. And to walk with a family, losing one person in the family is hard. But I'd never walked through where a husband and a wife within 2 months of each other passed on to heaven, leaving a young son behind. And, you know, I was really struggling with that pain and that loss that he was going through. And God showed up that day, just like he allowed me to show up at their house a few months before and bring some comfort, because he had sent me there. Opening this devotional up and reading that scripture, I knew that God was with me, walking with them. And that was really powerful for me. And it helped me to know that, you know, I was that person that he was calling to walk with them, and he had given me this. And even knowing that I shared these words with that young boy that day, being able to share with him that he may have lost seemingly everything, but that God was his provider and that he was there for him.
And some of the other things that stuck out to me as you were telling the story and also sharing the devotional was that day that the Lord spoke to you to drive to their house and visit. You thought that that was kind of random or
right.
Kind of
yes.
Weird, maybe even. And then when you got there and the mom was asleep and the dad wasn't there, you were like, Lord, did I hear you right almost?
Right.
And sometimes that's how it is with our life. We don't understand at the time why things happen, but we understand down the road, like as you were leaving the development and the father pulled into the development and you were able to pray with him after a hard diagnosis of
yes.
his own on top of dealing with his wife's cancer as well,
yes.
Then it made perfect sense to you why God had you there that day. And it just talks to the importance of being present
Absolutely.
In people's lives and just obeying God and showing up where he tells us to. And also you were sharing about how you shared Psalm 23:1 in the hospice house with the man when he was near death, and how you struggled with that verse. He didn't necessarily struggle with it. Well, a lot of times when we're trying to minister to people, we end up getting ministered to by
right.
the people we're ministering to.
So true. Yes. Well, just another really precious part to this story. I really felt inadequate ministering to the young boy. I could hug him. I could be present. I could share truth, but I never really had a conversation like I wanted to have with him. And I really had struggled with that and have thought about it many times. I was there the night that he found out that his dad passed. I was just present. I really didn't have a conversation with him, but I tried to show up in his life. And he shared with his youth group, and a few years later was just asked, you know, who was instrumental in you coming to Christ? And he shared that myself and Pastor Carey were instrumental. And although I had never had a conversation per se about Jesus, leading him to Christ, it was about being present and sharing truth in a really hard time, but really about being present and just loving on him in the way that God allowed me to. And to see him as this young man now that loves Jesus, and that, you know, what he's doing, I know it's hard for him, but he is surviving, and more than that, he's living, and he's living for the Lord. And that is just such a powerful part of, here is a young boy. I didn't feel adequate in ministering to him. However, God was his provider, is his provider, and he continues to provide for each one of us like that.
Yes, and I think that goes along with actions speak louder than words. Sometimes people don't need words. They just need somebody to be there for them.
And right.
Either to listen to them or to comfort them, or just small things, just to let the Lord lead in those situations.
Yes, and you know, it is so important. You know, I hear a lot of people, when there's a hard situation, there's been loss, and it's someone that we love and we know. And I'll hear people say, well, I don't know that I want to go because I don't know what to say. And I say to them, then don't say anything. That's the best thing to do, is to go and be present with them. And we never know what showing up, simply being present, what that means, because we have this great gift as believers. Christ lives in us, and he goes with us, and he ministers through us in ways that we absolutely have no idea. On this side of heaven, we won't know.
That's true, Pastor Margaret. We won't know, but certainly God knows. And
right.
Certainly, we need to be obedient, even if we don't know this side of heaven.
Right.
Yes. We just need to be obedient and trust God and the direction that he's leading us. And so this is a very sad story, but ultimately I believe God got glory in the situation. And maybe, like you said, through this situation of this young boy's parents dying, you and Dad were able to witness to him and to share Christ's love to him, which might not have been possible if this situation had not happened to him and his family.
Right. And just to see how those around him have come, you know, other family, how they've come around him and given him family and make sure that he has everything he needs. And it doesn't take the place of the loss that he's had, but God is his provider, and he has, what a story, what a testimony this young boy has, that maybe one day he will be able to bring comfort to others. That's the thing. So often, you know, when the Lord works things out in our life, we have a responsibility to share that when people come along that need encouragement, might be going through the same things we're going through. And sometimes it's hard to share with somebody and say, well, you know, I've been through this or that, but that's what we're called to do in community, is to be available for people. And when we find somebody going through something that we can come in and share how the Lord has been faithful to us and to help others' faith to grow, I believe that God expects us to do that.
Yeah, and as you were talking, certainly He can take the hardest things in our lives and bring good out of them. Or even the case, like you said, down the road we might be able to encourage or help somebody else going through something similar as to what we went through. So it's almost like taking our weaknesses and making them our strengths.
Right, yes. Those places where the scripture that says what the enemy meant for evil, God can use for the good of those that love Him. And so I think that's a powerful thought, you know, and in those times that we're going through the struggles and we can't really see where God is working, you know, we wonder, is He working? This is so hard. It takes me back to when Moses asked God if he could see him face to face, and God said, I will pass by you, and after I pass by, you can see me from behind. And He said, I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock. And after I pass by. And so often we are going through things, and I almost think that, you know, God is so close. He's so much in the details of it. We can't see it at the time. But when we get through that event and we look back and we see where God was, we can see after we pass by a ways, we look back and we look, wow. You know, the Lord was really in that. And a lot of times when folks come to me and say, you know, this has happened in my life, whether it's a death, whether it's a loss of a job, whether it's a loss of a relationship, whatever it is, I will say to that person, would you rather be the person you were before that happened or the person you are now? And I have yet to hear anyone say, I want to go back and be who I used to be. Because through these things, through God, we've been told that we will have suffering. We will have trials. And if we are surrendering those things to the Lord and believing that He has our best interest at heart in those sufferings, through those sufferings, through those trials, we become more like Christ because He teaches us. He causes us to become more compassionate, more grace-filled, if we will surrender those things. Now, if we hold on to them and we're angry about them, we may not find a lot of improvement. But through giving up, surrendering, knowing that He has our best interest, that He will supply all of our needs, knowing that He doesn't make those things happen. Yes, He allows those things to happen, but He is not the enemy. He doesn't cause things to happen. And I believe that our compassionate, loving God does not want these things for us, but He will allow them and He will make them work for the good of us if we will lay those things at His feet.
Well, Pastor Margaret, thanks for sharing, and thank you for joining me for today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks. And we pray that what Pastor Margaret has shared today has encouraged you and was a half hour of hope for your life. God bless. Today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.